This is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. At college and university campuses in Connecticut, in Michigan, California, and Illinois, students and faculty are calling on their institutions to defund and abolish their campus police departments. Last year, following the killing of George Floyd by a Minneapolis police officer, students at the University of Illinois' Urbana and Chicago campuses began making similar demands. Activists say police on the Urbana campus have for years targeted students of color and that the $8-plus million annual budget of the UIPD could be better spent on mental health and other services for students. Campus police officers, however, say they're a necessary part of college life, that they protect university property and the people who make up the university community. WILL and Illinois Newsroom reporter Lee Gaines spent the last several months looking into the movement to defund the police on the Urbana campus. The first installment of her series was published today on IllinoisNewsroom.org, and Lee joins us now. Lee Gaines, welcome back to the show. Thanks for being here.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
We're also joined by John Sloan, an emeritus professor of criminal justice at the University of Alabama at Birmingham. He's studied and written extensively about crime and related issues at American colleges and universities, including campus policing. His most recent book, written with Bonnie Fisher, is the fourth edition of Campus Crime: Legal, Social, and Policy Perspectives, to be published later this year. John Sloan, welcome to The 21st.
Great to be here. Thank you for having me.
And we're also joined by Naomi Paik. She's an associate professor at the University of Illinois. Her research and teaching focuses on racism and imprisonment, policing, and immigration issues. Naomi Paik, welcome to the show. Thanks for being here.
Thanks so much for having me, and thanks for doing these stories.
Listeners, we want to invite you to join the conversation by giving us a call at 800-222-9455. What do you think of calls to defund or abolish police departments? If you go or went to college, have you ever had any interactions with the campus police? We'd love to hear about it at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. I also want to note, on a personal note before we begin, that when I was an undergraduate at the U of I back in the late 1990s, I did have a civilian job with the University of Illinois Police Department. No badge, no gun, but I did know and work with a lot of the people who were on the force at that time. Okay, Lee, let's begin with you. How many campuses have their own police force or quasi-police force, and how is such a force different from the police you might see in the city that surrounds a university?
So the latest estimates that I could find from the U.S. Department of Justice say that about 95% of all four-year college and universities with more than 2,500 students have their own law enforcement agencies. So the University of Illinois would be included among those, and that most of those officers are sworn police officers, and that most of them are also authorized to use a sidearm, chemical or pepper spray, and also a baton. Something that I found interesting throughout my reporting is that there's a lot of people that don't know that campus police officers have the same powers as municipal police. So here in this community, you know, if you're pulled over by a campus police officer, they can give you a speeding ticket. They can arrest you. They can physically take you to jail if you are found to have done something or they believe you've done something that warrants that. And so it is like having a third police department in a community here at the University of Illinois, where we already have Champaign Municipal Police. We have Urbana Municipal Police. We also have a county sheriff's department. We also have this campus police force that exists here. And we can get into this a little bit more later, but they also work together. So oftentimes, if there's a call that occurs near to the campus, police from the University of Illinois will respond along with their municipal counterparts.
I think that's pretty common, too, to have municipal agreements that neighbor each other to have officers respond to help each other out. Let's get into some of these, some of the specific calls for abolition that you've been reporting on. So there are students at the U of I, as I said, who are calling for abolition of the police or defunding. When did these calls come about? What did you hear from students?
Yeah, so as most of our listeners know, back in May of last year, George Floyd, a Black man, was killed by police in Minneapolis. And that really sparked a global protest movement. And as part of that movement, what I saw was more and more students on college campuses getting involved in abolitionist movements and specifically targeted at their own university and college institutions. Some examples are University of Michigan, Yale. These are places in addition to the U of I where students are calling on those institutions to defund and disband their police departments. And so I talked to a number of students who are involved in the movement on this campus, also at the Chicago campus. And here on this campus, I met a student named William Burke. He's 21. He's studying theater. He's a senior at the U of I. And he described, I believe we have tape of this, he described an incident in September when he encountered UIPD.
I was skateboarding, longboarding on green, and I was pulled over, and there were about five officers that were there. There two of the officers didn't have masks, and that's some other mess. Like, they're doing that type of stuff. Pulling somebody over for skateboarding literally exists. I'm not hurting anybody, I'm not doing anything, and that's what they're focused on. I'm paying this money to go to this school, I'm putting in my time to go here, and then they have, like, the cops there to just make me know that even though I go here and this is my school, it's not my place. That's how it feels to me, at least.
So yeah, a lot of the Black students I talk to feel not only that they're targeted by UIPD, but also that they are not protected by UIPD. They feel more threatened than protected by the campus police departments. And that's a big part of the reason why they want the university to instead use the $8.2 million that they're spending annually on this police force and divert it to other things that they say would better serve students.
And I should add, and we will be talking more about the U of I police's response throughout this segment. We did invite them. They declined. They sent a statement. We do have some tape because they did talk to you, Lee, for your story. So just if listeners are wondering, we will try to include that perspective, even though they did not want to participate in this particular conversation. I want to bring Naomi Paikin into the conversation now as a faculty member. I'm curious what you've heard from students or your colleagues at the university about the campus police, especially in the last year or so.
Yeah, so first of all, thank you for having me, and thank you, Lee, for doing these really crucial and important stories and for getting a lot of research that we've been wanting through your FOIA requests. I really appreciate all the work that you and WILL have been doing. So as a faculty member, I am here to support my students, and for years I've been hearing how some of my Black and Brown students report being hyper-policed over the weekends in ways that their white peers are not policed in that same way. I've heard from my students who are resident advisors in the dorms that they want an alternative to calling the police when they're dealing with, you know, a resident or a student who's having mental health care issues and things like this, but they don't have those options and that they are afraid to call the police in those kinds of situations, but there's no other option that's available to them. So these kinds of concerns have been on my radar for, you know, quite some time. There was also an incident in which the UIPD entered a classroom, an African American studies classroom, in order to interrogate two of the students there. So there's an infringement and a prioritization of policing our students over even educating them and creating a welcoming, inclusive, and warm environment, an environment of care, which would be conducive to our mission here, which is to educate them. So, you know, over the summer, we were witnessing what everyone else was witnessing with the George Floyd protests and the demands that to make Black Lives Matter. And I think these demands to defund and to abolish the police are not new. But I think in this moment, this particular historical moment that we've been undergoing, allowed and enabled many different campuses to kind of make the strong demand and make the strong move to demand that universities defund and limit the power the scope and the intensity of policing on their campuses. So I've been working with the students who are organized under this organization called Defund UIPD to make those goals realizable.
Let me take a moment to reintroduce our conversation. If you're just tuning in, this is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We are talking about calls to defund police or abolish police in this context. I know there's often some conversation about how far people mean to go when they say defunding the police. In this context, there are calls to abolish the police at the University of Illinois, Urbana, Chicago, and elsewhere. This is a nationwide movement. We're speaking with Lee Gaines, who's a reporter for Illinois Newsroom and WILL. Also, Naomi Paik, who's an associate professor at the University of Illinois, who researches and teaches in the areas of racism, policing, immigration. And we also have with us John Sloan, an emeritus professor of criminal justice at the University of Alabama at Birmingham, who's studied and written extensively about crime and related issues at colleges and universities. And John, I wonder if you can give us some historical perspective. I understand you told Lee that one of the first college police departments was at Yale.
Yeah, that's right, Brian. The first known instance of sworn police officers being on campus was in 1894, when Yale hired two officers effectively away from the New Haven, Connecticut police department, and had them begin patrolling campus and actually create their own, in quotes, police department. And subsequent to that, over the next 120 or 130 years, what we saw in this country was the sort of evolution of campus policing from what more or less began as kind of a watchman situation, where you had individuals who were associated with the physical plant. They would, quote, patrol campus, unquote, primarily looking for problems with the physical plant in terms of fires or floods or burglaries, things like that. And then in the 1960s, during the sort of beginnings of student protests on campus, that became more common, became larger, and in some instances became violent. Rather than having local police respond, or state police, or in several tragic instances, National Guard troops, for example, at Kent State University, where most people are familiar with the massacre that occurred there. What post-secondary administrators learned was having these outsiders on campus usually only exacerbated the conflicts that were already going on. So what they thought they could do would be to create their own police departments that, at least in theory, would be a part of the fabric of the campus community. And so what they were able to do was to convince state legislatures or state's attorneys general to issue opinions to give them the authority to create these agencies. And so that's what they did.
Yeah. And if listeners may not, some of our younger listeners might not immediately remember, Kent State is a reference to there was a protest against the Vietnam War, a peaceful protest, and members of the Ohio National Guard ended up killing four students, wounding some number of others at that protest in 1970. Became one of the searing moments of the anti-war movement in the late 60s, early 70s. John, can you talk a little bit about, and I should say we need to take a break in a couple of minutes here, but have campus police departments had the same sort of, as they've scaled up, as they've grown and professionalized, have they been found to have some of the same problems that we see in big city policing over disproportionately targeting certain groups, for example?
The short answer is yes. But to understand why, you have to understand that when campus police departments were created, again, as I mentioned, in the 60s and 70s, what happened was campus administrators hired veteran police officers from municipal agencies or state police agencies or who had worked in county sheriff's departments to come to campus and oversee the actual creation, in some instances, the physical creation of campus security departments or campus police departments. There's a story there, but we can maybe get back to that in a minute. But anyway, yeah. So being police officers themselves, they copied the organizational model that they were most familiar with, which is the paramilitary rank structure, top-down communication, specialized type of agency that most of us are familiar with when we think of municipal police. So that was the model that was used. So it shouldn't be surprising to anyone that in the last 10 years or so, as protests and concerns over the treatment of Black and brown communities by municipal police departments has grown, that the same kinds of things would be going on with campus police agencies. And it's largely because of the organizational model that they chose.
Okay, we need to take a break here. I want to remind our listeners that you can join our conversation. The number to call is 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. Want to know if you are going to college, maybe you've been to college or live near a college. A lot of our listeners are in college towns. Have you ever had any interactions with the campus police? And what do you think of calls to defund or abolish campus police departments? The number to call again, 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. We are speaking with John Sloan, who's an emeritus professor of criminal justice at the University of Alabama at Birmingham, who studied a lot of these crime and related issues at American colleges and universities. Naomi Pike. Pake, who's an associate professor at the University of Illinois, whose research and teaching focuses on some of these issues, and WILL and Illinois Newsroom reporter Lee Gaines. This conversation will continue after a short break. You're listening to The 21st. Stay with us. This is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking about calls to abolish campus police across the country, but particularly today we're talking about it at the University of Illinois in Urbana, also the Chicago campus. But these calls, as I said, are going on all over the place. Reporting on this has been Lee Gaines, my colleague at WILL and Illinois Newsroom, who has a series. The first installment was published today on illinoisnewsroom.org. We're also joined by John Sloan, an emeritus professor of criminal justice at the University of Alabama at Birmingham, and Naomi Pake, who's an associate professor at the University of Illinois. Lee, you mentioned campus law enforcement agencies have the right to make arrests, write tickets. They are sworn police officers, just like any other municipal, county, state police agency. So you looked into data around that. Can you tell us what you found about who was being taken into custody, who's being cited for violations?
Yeah, of course. So I looked at the data between 2016 and 2019, largely because, as we all know, 2020 was a very weird year. And so I wanted to compare those years. And I think the big takeaway for our listeners is that what I found in this data from the University of Illinois Police Department is that more than half, so 54% of the people that UIPD physically took to jail during that time period were Black. And that, you know, we need to also mention that only about 7% of the student body here is Black, and only about 12% of the area's metro population is Black, according to census estimates. And so being taken to jail by UIPD is sort of the worst outcome of being stopped by the police. Now, if you include all arrests, so that would also include include traffic tickets, people that are ordered to appear in court, but they're released on scene, then, you know, we see that white people do make up the majority of all arrests. But Black people certainly make up the majority of people that are physically taken to jail. Again, that worst outcome situation. And so one thing to note here is that the majority of, or the largest charge for Black arrestees were in-state warrants. So a judge issues a warrant for someone's arrest. They're stopped by UIPD. Officers don't have a ton of leeway in determining whether or not they can release that person. They have to bring them into jail. However, when I was looking at this data, I excluded all of those who were charged with a warrant or taken in for a warrant. And I still found that, you know, Black arrestees accounted for 43% of those taken to jail during that time period, while white people made up about 39%. And for listeners who don't know, this is a majority white community and a majority white institution. I think it's also worth mentioning that the UIPD police force is made up of mostly white people as well.
Okay, so Lee, what was the university's response to these numbers?
Yeah, so I talked to UIPD Chief Alice Carey actually on two occasions. And essentially she said, you know, this goes deeper than law enforcement. The reason that you're seeing Black folks represented so much in this data is because of other things. So inequality in housing, food insecurity, poverty, access to mental health. And I believe we also have a clip of her explaining this.
That goes beyond law enforcement. It goes into the society and what we need to do to help those that can't help themselves. There's a lot of societal issues, you know, like poverty and homelessness, unemployment, mental health is a huge one. You know, housing and food insecurities. All of these inequalities have intersections with law enforcement one way or another. And society and, you know, communities as a whole, we need to really dig deep into some of these issues to help. And, you know, we don't dictate who commits crime. You know, it's our job is to help prevent crime and help address it as it comes. And it doesn't come with a color. It comes with an act.
So, John, I wonder if you can respond to what we heard from Chief Carey there, that crime doesn't come with a color, it comes with an act.
You know, of course she's right, but what she's doing is not really addressing what's going on. One question I had for Lee was, were most of those arrests, did they occur on campus or off campus?
I can answer that. We actually, on IllinoisNewsroom.org, have a map of all of these arrests. I would say the majority do occur. It's hard to say because U of I is a sprawling campus, but they occur near the campus, we should say.
The reason for the question is because one of the issues, one of the key issues, in my opinion, that's involved in the protests over campus police is the fact that their jurisdictional boundaries have, particularly in the last 10 years, there's been this sort of slow creep where originally their jurisdiction ended at the literally physical borders of the campus. And what's happened is that was slowly extended outward to the areas immediately adjacent to campus. And now we're seeing the jurisdiction of campus police extending as far as 15 miles outside of the physical boundaries of the campus. So they are literally patrolling not just neighborhoods adjacent to the campus, but neighborhoods that are, you know, relatively speaking, far away from the campus. So if they're sworn officers and they're engaging in routine patrol in areas away from the campus, then you're going to have more opportunities to interact with citizens of the larger community. And those kinds of interactions are also part of the problem. And that goes to how campus police officers, as well as police officers more generally, are being trained, beginning with the training academy, where the whole focus, much of the focus is on training warriors rather than on training guardians.
Naomi, I wonder if you have a perspective on what you heard from the chief a moment ago. Again, the comment was, crime doesn't come with a color, it comes with an act.
Yeah, I appreciate, first of all, your efforts to get Chief Carey's responses. And I also just want to reiterate something that's in Lee's article and that I also only found out earlier this semester, which is that the jurisdiction of the UIPD encroaches into every single county in the state of Illinois, because their jurisdiction is state property, not even just university property, but state property. So this is an enormous jurisdiction, right? And so it's not even just the creep outwards of policing the communities adjacent to the university, but in fact, their jurisdiction extends well beyond any of the three campuses of the U of I system. But getting back to the comment that, crime doesn't come with a color, it comes with an act. I think the real rhetorical work that's being done here is naturalizing crime and criminal acts as somehow being more prone by Black and Brown community members, which I think naturalizes the kind of tie between crime and people of color, right? And Black and Brown bodies. And so I think that it's actually a very pernicious way of framing the issue. I also want to get back to what Carey said about that the reason Black people are overrepresented in the arrest by her officers is because of inequalities in housing, mental health care, food security, et cetera. I completely agree with that, right? I think that, and I think that this question of law enforcement, right, cannot be divorced from the structural inequalities in our society. But what is interesting to me is that the chief of UIPD has actively not supported moving resources out of the UIPD to agencies that would actually address these structural inequalities around housing, mental health care, food security, et cetera. For example, why are therapy dogs enlisted under the UIPD? Why are they not in mental health and counseling resources? Why have they hired a social worker to respond to mental health crises? Why is that hiring line not in mental health and counseling resources, which is what our students have been asking for, right? So, I mean, it's great that there's at least some, like even peripheral recognition that inequality and criminalization that the UIPD enforces, right? That these things are connected, but we need to make the next move and think about if we're gonna get real about addressing these inequalities, that we need to move resources out of the police and into agencies that actually care for our people, care for our students and for the community members that we are sending instead to jail.
I wanna go to the phones now. We have a caller, Greg is on the line from St. Charles on line one. Greg, thanks for calling in.
Yeah, hi. I was a police officer at a university in the middle 80s. And at that time, we had a judicial system that was encouraged for us to use for lower level crimes and not to place the students into the state court systems. And that was pretty beneficial and pretty effective. The counterweight I want to put to that is, from experience, there is serious crime that happens on campus, and having a professional, well-trained department can be a benefit to the students and to the staff. And those are my two points.
Okay. Thank you for the call, Greg. John, let me ask you about that. And I should say our time is short, so I'm going to ask everybody to be sort of brief from here on out. But as he said, you know, I wonder who, if police is abolished, there is still property crime to be concerned about, right? There is still violence. And we've heard, I mean, there are so many systemic issues in our society. And yes, if we were in some sort of utopian society, Star Trek, where people didn't have hunger and needs and things like that. But we're not there now. And I think a lot of listeners might be sort of terrified at the idea of thinking of sending their kids or sending themselves to school without any sort of, any sort of police protection. I wonder what your perspective is on that.
Well, I think that what Naomi and others are focusing on is really important. The too often the response from the police is, well, we can't do anything about those kinds of problems. Well, that's probably true, but yet that intersection that Naomi spoke of is really important. So then it seems to me that we ought to better train and prepare officers to be involved in that intersection than the way that we are doing it currently.
Yeah, and I should say we have a statement in their statement. Chief Carey of the U of I Police did mention she had participated in several interviews with WILL, provided a lot of data, is going to be doing a town hall on the topic of this. And she went on to say, quote, acknowledging systemic racism exists in our society. But she said, you know, we call on our community to be actively engaged in solving these complex social issues that can lead to law enforcement contacts. Looking at policing in a vacuum will not solve these issues. We need a holistic community approach that provides both for the safety of our community and the well-being of people of all backgrounds and experiences. Naomi, same question to you, and probably our concluding thought, because our time is short this hour. What do you say to people who might be afraid of the idea of abolishing police?
So first of all, I would say that I understand that concern, right? None of us want to live in a campus community where people feel unsafe, right? My question is that UIPD, right, campus police do not equate to safety. They don't secure safety. And their main role, as John and others have pointed out, and even Alice Carey has pointed out, the main role of campus police is to secure university property, right? So even in Lee Gaines' article, Alice Carey is quoted as saying, there's valuable things that are contained within our multi-million dollar buildings. This is the same logic that values property, right, over Black lives. It's just that in this case, it's university property over the lives of our Black students and our Black community members, right? So I understand we do need to look at issues of safety from a holistic community point of view, right? And I think we need to move resources to those agencies that can actually help make our campus safer, right? The police is a one-stop shop to all questions of safety and security, even though their quote unquote solutions make the problem of community safety worse, right? So I think if we can start from like the kind of shared concern, all of us want to create like a safe, welcoming, warm community for all of its members. Mm-hmm. The police do not advance that goal, right? It creates safety for some things and maybe some people, but not for everyone. Sure. And so I think we need to look at this much more holistically and think about one of the proposals that have been put forward by the students is creating a transformative justice center, right? And that would deal with cases of interpersonal harm and things like that.
And I'm afraid I have to jump in there, and that's going to have to be our final thought from Naomi Paik, who's an associate professor at the U of I Urbana-Champaign. We've also been speaking with John Sloan, professor emeritus of criminal justice at the University of Alabama, and Lee Gaines, reporter with WILL and Illinois Newsroom. You can read her series on the movement to abolish police at college campuses at illinoisnewsroom.org. That's it for today. We'll be back tomorrow. This is The 21st.